Turn, if you would, to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah 3. That's Jonah is after. What is it after? Okay, it's three books before Nahum, so it's pretty easy to find. Okay. After Obadiah. Can't miss it. Right there in the middle of the smaller prophets. I had a preacher once said, don't call them minor prophets. You get there in heaven, they may say, what you calling minor? Anyway, page 1022. Everybody got it? Jonah, chapter 3. I want to talk to you tonight about fasting. Boy, did you hear that great roar of excitement? Fasting! Getting out of the way so God can move. Getting out of the way so God can move. Fasting. Jonah 3 verse 1. Word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the preaching that I bid you. So he arose and he went. And by the way, the context is he just got, excuse the word, puked by a fish on the ground. And he had been in this fish for 3 days. And did you know that if you spent 3 days in the stomach of a fish, your body absorbing the acids, the juices that are trying to absorb you in that fish, and suddenly you're puked out on the sand. By the way, he was the first submariner in the Bible. Puked on the sand. And this guy, talk about fish smell. We're talking fish gut smell, putrid vomit smell, covered with sand stuck to the vomit and puke. And this guy that looks like that, can you imagine the smell? His face, his hair, his skin, yellow or green or gosh knows. In fact, there's a verse earlier that says those seaweeds wrapped around his head. What he looked like, I don't know. So God said, go to Nineveh and preach. Look at this. Now, I'm going to tell you. So Jonah rose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Because he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will perish. And the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. From the least to the greatest of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh. And the king rose from his throne, laid his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and he caused it to be proclaimed in Nineveh. That nobody, man or beast or herd or flock, I mean it's cows, dogs, cats, nobody tastes anything, food or even water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Turn from his wicked way. Who can tell if God will return and repent from the judgment? And God saw their works and he turned from the evil way and he repented of the evil that he said he would do and he did not do it. Now all I know is, that was one of the most powerful sermons you ever heard. Yet 40 days and you perish. And I think the way he looked and the way he smelled was kind of a reinforcement to his message. This creature came into the land and began screaming, judgment! And for some reason, some powerful anointing came. And the whole country repented. I mean, now, you got to understand, these Ninevites, they're pretty wicked, vile people. Did you know they were so vile that they would take their enemies? This is true. In fact, they worshipped the goddess Ishtar. They had morality approaching that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. They exported witchcraft. They were not only witches. If you read in the book of Nahum, which is a book of judgment against Nineveh, they not only had witchcraft in the occult, they exported it. Sort of like the America exports pornography. And they were so exceedingly cruel to their enemies that they were known throughout the world that when the Ninevites caught you, they skinned their enemies alive. So you can understand why Jonah in chapter 1 boogied the other way. Amen? When God said, go preach to the Ninevites. But when he came, the anointing on him was so strong that those wicked people repented before God. That's interesting that in their repentance, what did they do? Anybody? They fasted. Look at the result. It was in their fast, not just saying, I repent, but they proved it how. They didn't eat. They didn't even drink. They had everyone. I mean, even to the point of the animals fasting. Crying out to the Lord, and somehow, in fasting, they reached Jehovah's ears, and Jehovah averted the judgment. Frankly, for many years, the book of Nahum is when he finally had to bring the judgment. You understand? Many years later, but the judgment should have come sooner, but fasting moved the hand of God of judgment away and brought mercy. You know, there's another story in 2 Chronicles 20, I won't turn there, but about Jehoshaphat. And there's a story about how he was being outnumbered and surrounded. I mean, it starts out. The Moabites and the Ammonites and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. The Jews were surrounded by enemies to the horizon as far as they could see. And, I mean, it was absolutely hopeless situation. You can read this sometime. And absolutely hopeless. Didn't know what to do. And do you know, it said that Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast. He proclaimed a fast. And they stood there fasting, and they stood before God. And there's a verse in 2 Chronicles 20 that says, Lord, we don't know what to do. We're totally outnumbered. We're helpless, but our eyes are on you. And at that moment, bam, the Holy Ghost hit this guy. He stood up, he prophesied. Said, no biggie. Tomorrow, I'll wipe them all out. You just stand and see the mightiness of your God. And if you read the story, guess what happened? Tomorrow, the next day, God wiped them all out. They spent 3 days picking up jewels and good booty from their enemy. Fasting caught the ear of God. In of God intervened in a sovereign deliverance in 2 Chronicles 20. There's another place too in 1 Kings 16 and 21. 1 Kings chapter 16, 1 Kings 21. The most vile, wicked man in the Old Testament. I'll tell you the story. His name was Ahab. Married a Satan worshiper, Jezebel. And King Ahab, the Bible says in 1 Kings 16, was worse than any king there ever had been before his time. He was vile. He was wicked. And not only that, he was no good. Worshipped Satan. His wife was a witch. He was a murderer. And in chapter 21 of 1 Kings, it says that Elijah the prophet came to Ahab and said, you know, the dogs are going to lick the blood of Jezebel. And he says, judgment's coming on you, Ahab. You're wicked. And then it says, there was never a king like Ahab, whom his wife Jezebel stirred up. And it was this incredible judgment of God. And the Bible says in the last couple of verses of 1 Kings 21, this has got to be the most amazing thing. It says, when Ahab heard that, he went and he fasted in sackcloth, and he went a few days softly before the Lord. And the Lord said, you see how Ahab humbles himself before me? I will not judge him, but I will judge the next generation. You go, whoa. He humbled himself with fasting, and God didn't judge the most wicked man in the Bible. He averted the judgment a generation or later because he repented with what? Fasting. There's something about fasting is very powerful in the Bible. I'm just giving you scriptures. There's a lot in the Word about it. The title of it is Fasting, Getting Out of the Way. So God can move. Did you know fasting is not optional? Look at Matthew 6. Tonight we're going to look at some benefits and rewards of fasting. Fasting is not optional. Matthew chapter 6. It is not something a Christian has a choice about. Christ implied that it is a definite part of a Christian's life. Look at this, Matthew 6, verse 16. You there? He says, moreover, my Bible reads when you fast. Is that how your Bibles read? Does it say if? It says when you fast. Don't be as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. You know, he goes on to say, when you fast, anoint your head and that you not appear, but will your Father reward you? See, he's addressing those that would boast about the fast. Remember Luke? There was a Pharisee and the Sadducee, and the Pharisee stood up and said, oh, Lord, I thank you. I'm not as other men are. I fast twice in the week. He boasted of it, trying to get some kind of credibility. The Lord was rebuking that spirit of pride. But fasting here is, the implication is, it is when you fast. In fact, here's another one, Matthew 9:14. It was considered, fasting was considered a normal, integral, essential ingredient of the early church's life. Look at this. Matthew 9:14. The disciples of John said, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? At one time, the disciples of John came to Jesus and asked him, we fast, and the disciples and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples are not fasting as they follow you around Galilee. Why? Look what he says. Can the children of the bridegroom mourn, as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and what? Then they'll fast. Now, when was the bridegroom taken from them? Pentecost. Prior to Pentecost, 50 days before Pentecost, he ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Ghost, and he says when the bridegroom goes, basically what he's saying is when the church is born, fasting will be a vital part of what they do to bring the kingdom of God into the world. That's what he's saying. In fact, let's consider some of the benefits of that. I'll show you that passage. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 1. Says here, let's see. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, this is one of the early churches, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manian. Verse 2, and they ministered, look at this, to the Lord and what? And fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And it says, and when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth of the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, from thence sailed to... So the first benefit, look at one of the clear benefit here of fasting, is fasting provides clear direction of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? They fasted, and the Holy Spirit clearly said, notice it was the Holy Spirit said, send these guys and do this. It was really the first missionary journey of that tour. Another in chapter 14, verse 21. 14:21. In the middle of this missionary journey, and when they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Triconium, and to Antioch. Look at this. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue the faith that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. And when they'd ordained them elders in every church and what? Prayed with how? Fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Paul and Barnabas followed the same pattern. To get clear direction, they fasted. Now notice it was to set in leaders. It said they ordained leaders of the churches after fasting. Now another clear benefit of fasting, look, it helps you discern. See that? A person's character. You know, when you're going to set in a leader of a church, particularly in this situation, they didn't have years. You know, they didn't have years to test the character. They needed to know fairly quickly. So they would go to these churches and operating under the gift of discernment of spirits through fasting, able to identify who they could release into ministry and anointing. How many of y'all wish you could have had discernment to discern a person's character? How many of y'all have ever gotten in trouble because you didn't discern somebody's character? And down the road, you found out how they really were. Well, you know, fasting can open our spiritual eyes to see what the real deal is, what the real problem is. You know, you got to be real careful when you set people into ministry. Do you know that? Into churches? How many of y'all have been to churches where somebody's a leader and they don't have any anointing in their life? They move in resentment or bitterness or self-pity, or they're just kind of, am I not full of themselves? A lot of times they're set into ministry, but there's no anointing. They've been appointed but not anointed. One of the wisdom of fasting is you can hear from the Spirit the word of the Lord and do what the Lord says and avoid a lot of problems. Look at Joel chapter 2, another example of fasting. Now you're going to say, where is that? Well, that's simple. It is back here amongst those smaller prophet books. Yes. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Got that? You can find Daniel. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2. I'm showing you some benefits of fasting here. This is a powerful one for some of you people that tend to sin at times. Anybody, we got anybody like that out there? Hello. Joel 2:12. Look at this. Therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn to the Lord, for he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, repent. Who knows if he'll return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? He's speaking to those that are in sin. He said, turn and repent with fasting. You see that? Are you out there? So the next benefit is fasting. Look at this. Puts teeth into your repentance. How many of y'all have fallen into this pattern? You ready? You fall into sin and you confess. And you fall and you confess and you confess and fall and fall and confess and fall and confess and fall and can just like spring, winter, fall. Winter, spring, summer, fall. You know people like that, huh? And you go to Jesus and you say, Lord, forgive me. And some voice says, give me a break. And there ain't a whole lot of sincerity to it. Come on, you know in 24 hours or 24 minutes, your head's going to be right back there again. Well, you know, sometimes it's good to put a little teeth in those repentance. You know how? Say, Lord, I'm sick of this pattern in me. And I repent. Those are cheap words. You know, words are cheap. Do you know in 2 Samuel 2, it says, talk no more so exceeding proudly, and let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. He looks at what you do, not what you say. Can I imagine? James talks about that. You know, don't be doers. What? Be doers of the word, not just hearers. So put teeth in your pants. Say, Jesus, nothing but water will touch my lips for 24 hours. I repent. Nothing but water will touch these lips to show you I mean business. You know, God will go, whoa. He's willing to, listen to this really foreign concept. He's willing to, you ready? Deny himself. Whoa. Now that's a foreign concept to most of us. Amen? Instead of pander to yourself or feed yourself or flatter yourself. Amen? Pamper yourself. No, deny yourself. Psychology says, know thyself. You know? People tend to say, oh, just you know, if you need to feel sorry for yourself. But what did Jesus say? Deny yourself! That's why Christianity is so popular in those circles. Well, it is popular in those circles where they leave that part out. Can you amen? Fasting puts money where your mouth is. Fasting proves your sincerity. You know, fasting is something you can do. You know, you're struggling in some area and you can't overcome it. There's something you can do other than just say, I'm sorry, 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 God. Sorry, sorry, so sorry. I mean, you want to go, hello? Lord, I will fast. And that's what it says here in Joel. Turn to me with all your heart with fasting. You know, the Bible talks about fasting was really afflicting your soul. Denying. Fasting is what I call manifested crucifixion. It is lived out crucifixion. You're crucifying the flesh. You're denying your flesh. You know, fasting speaks three ways. First, it speaks to God that you mean business. Hello? It speaks to Satan that you're taking back control of that old unruly flesh. And it speaks to yourself that you can overcome. Fasting is a powerful tool and weapon of the kingdom of God. Look at Judges chapter 20. Turn there with me. Now that's in the Old Testament. Joshua, Judges. It's the sixth book, if I'm not mistaken. Seventh book? Seventh book. Judges 20. Look at this. There's so many of these principles. This principle of fasting is from one end of the Bible to the other. I want you to see it in the Word tonight. Get in your spirit. And I'll tell you, this will set you free. Some of y'all are going, oh my God. You know, you were sitting there during the worship fantasizing about key lime pie. I know. I'll get through this work, kind of with glance at your watch. Let's see. How late does IHOP stay open, you know? You know, some of them, Paul talks in Philippians about those whose God is their what? Their belly. God wants us, Paul says, I bring my body into subjection and take control. He that has no rule over himself is like a man, like a city with no walls. And we wonder why we're so tormented by demons, because we can't even take charge of our flesh. Fasting is the key, one of the most powerful ways to do that. Judges 20, verse 26. Look at this. Then all the people of Israel came and went up, came to the house of God. Look at this. Judges 20, and wept and sat there before the Lord, what? And fasted that day until evening. This is just kind of a one-day fast. Offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Verse 27. And the children of the Lord, children of Israel, inquired of the Lord. For the ark of God was there. And look at verse 28, halfway through it. And they said, shall I go out to battle? See, what it was is one of the tribes of Benjamin was rebelling against the rest of the tribes. And they're saying, Lord, should we go battle Benjamin? And the Lord said, go, tomorrow I'll deliver into your hands. Now, I see a principle here. Look, fasting enables you to hear God quickly and distinctly. They needed to hear the Lord. They needed to hear a word now. There was a problem. There was some enemy. Some of their brethren had turned into enemies. They want to know how to solve it. They need to hear a word now, clearly and distinctly from the Lord. So they fast. Now, there's many of us at times we need to hear from the Lord clearly and distinctly. Can you hear amen? This is a way. This is a key. This is so little spoken of in the kingdom of God. Back in the early 90s, but I think it was 89 or 90, I used to have a 15-minute radio show on KSPJ every Sunday night for 3 years. And we would have people call in. Some of y'all are here at the church because of that little show. And we'd have people call in late at night. And I had fun on that show. Just a voice in the night screaming against demons, preaching Jesus. Well, one night, I preached on fasting just for 15 minutes. We never had a response like that night. In fact, one of the former DJs of KSPJ, I remember she called. She's now a DJ at a country western. She called. Oh, we had call after call went on. Then, a couple of years later, I was doing television shows for Access Houston. Used to be on television, two, three, four times a week for a couple of years. And one of the shows I did was on fasting. And I'll never forget, when we would show the fasting show, there would be an enormous response. People would call in. Incredible. And people would call. People just really wanted to hear about so little teaching on fasting. And it gives people hope. Amen? There's a way to overcome. I think we all knew it down inside. You know, when nothing else works, I'll just, let's see. Where is that in the Bible? Take up my couch, my cross, and what? Deny myself. You know, that's kind of spiritual. Well, I'm denying myself. Okay, how? Well, I just deny myself. You know, I'm not into any big sins. No big sins for me, thank you. No bank robbery, stealing, no adultery. Nope, I'm denying myself. Give me a break. The Bible says it's the little foxes, amen, that spoil the vines. The little petty stuff, the little prides, the little anxiety. Do you know fear is sin? Can you hear amen? Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is fear is sin. And some of us will live with low-grade anxiety all day, just lived and driven by fear and worry and fretting about stuff. And that's it. It is. It's sin. Fear is sin. You know, when I first realized that fear was sin, it really encouraged me because I thought, well, I can do something with that. I used to not know what to do with fear. But I can repent of fear now. Jesus used to say, be not what? Be not, whenever you appear, be not afraid. Let not your heart be what? Fear it then. Bible says we're not given a spirit of, but a power of love and some perfect love. Cast out what? So, many of us live with this stuff. We drink it like orange juice every morning. We drink the elixir, the enticing drink of the devil. of fear and worry and fretting because we don't rise early and seek the face of Jesus, and we wake up with the burdens of the night. The Bible says those that seek me early will find me. The Bible says also the enemy came during the night and sowed the tares. You know, a lot of times we get up in the morning and something's on us. Amen. You have a dream. You have a dream where there was danger or violence, or maybe a perverted dream, and there's lust, and you get up in the morning. Do you know if you don't seek the face of Jesus and get in His presence and take authority over that, it'll mess up. We mess with your head all day long. Get into that. The thing about fasting, it begins to discipline yourself. You take charge of the body. You take discipline, authority over yourself. How can we ever expect to take authority over demons or the devil or death if we can't take authority over ourselves? I like Keith Green's song, one of his songs, Asleep in the Light. He said, Jesus rose from the dead and you can't get out of bed. He rose from the dead, and we can't hardly get out of bed. I was going to title the sermon tonight, Food is Demonic, but I felt like that was a little extreme. It is interesting the word feasting and fasting, just one letter difference, huh? We want that E in that word. But God has called us to take charge. You know what? You only get what you give out. Let's see, you only receive what you give in the kingdom of God. Amen? I mean, whatever you sow, that shall you what? Whatever measure you give out, it shall be returned. It's a principle. And we expect to move in power and signs and wonders. You got to learn to take charge of the flesh. And there's something in us that says, whoa, I want my cake, literally, and eat it. I want to fast at my cake and eat it too. I had a piece of cake from the retreat. One of those, y'all remember those nice little cakes you could put in my pocket and brought it home? I fasted one day this week, opened the drawer, there it was. Okay, thing looked good. I want to show you in this passage, they fasted and they heard his voice clearly and distinctly. He quote, notice he spoke quickly. Do you see that? Quickly. Do you know when you fast that your appetites, desires, and emotions decline and your spirit magnifies? I'm serious. When you fast, the things that drive you every day in the emotional realm, in the appetite realm, in the desire realm, in all of the sensual realm, all of those things begin to decline. And when they begin to get weak, like it says, he must increase, I must decrease, you begin to get strong in spirit. In your spiritual, I really believe to the degree that you deny the natural senses, you enhance the spiritual senses. When you deny the taste, your spiritual sense enhances where taste and see what? That the Lord is good. When you deny the ear to hear, it says in Isaiah 33, he that closes the ears from hearing of bloods, he will see the king in his beauty and behold the land very far off. When you close your eyes from seeing of evil, when we deny the sensual, natural senses, our spiritual senses are enhanced. You can't have it both ways. You can't move in mighty signs and wonders and power raising the dead and just pigging out every day, you know? It makes sense? Now, there's a time to feast, but there's a time to deny yourself. Am I speaking to anybody out there? How many of y'all still left in the room? Look at Matthew 17. By the way, you ought to fast before any major decision. Remember, they didn't know about killing the going against Benjamites? God spoke distinctly. You know, a lot of times when you fast, it raises your faith level. You can hear definite, specific words. Just this week, I'm going to share a bit. I started a new regimen of fasting. I feel so loved by Jesus. Did you know it says in John 16 that the Spirit will show us things to come? Did anybody know that? That God will tell you what's going to happen? God will. And I got up this morning. I won't go into details, but I woke up early, and I got up, and I had a heaviness on my heart, a situation. It was just weighing on me. And I stumbled to the closet. We had this big walk-in closet. And I closed it so I wouldn't wake up my wife. Turned on the light. Just as I'm going to reach the shirt, I heard the voice of Jesus. I saw a scripture in my mind in Psalm 16 about verse 2 or 3. I just saw it right there as I grabbed that shirt. And I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." And the verse was, "He called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his distresses." I said, "Thank you, Lord." And instantly I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, "Before the day is out, what you're worried about will not come to pass." I said, "Whoa." And that lifted off my spirit. You know what? I'm realizing that when I have a discipline of fasting, His Word is clearer. And I don't carry the junk. Can you understand? Man does not live by what? Key lime pie alone. But by what? Every word. Or Bluebell ice cream. Hey, Joe, we don't live by that alone. I'll grant you, you need Bluebell at times, unquestionably. I like Branham. I need to support that town. But by every word, and that's a quickened word of the Spirit. You know, I think God wants to speak to our spirit a lot more than He does. A lot more than we hear it. Can you amen? I think the Lord, He loves us so much, and He, if it says in Isaiah 30, "You shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way walking in it." I think the Lord is speaking a lot more than we can hear. And the problem is our ears, as Jesus said to His disciples, they're waxed gross, you know? And dull of hearing. You remember that? He said, "Let these things sink into your ears," because there was a lot in there that had to sink through. We got our ears clogged up because our flesh is ruling. Matthew 17:18. Look at this. And Jesus rebuked the demon. I like that about Jesus. He rebuked that demon. And the demon departed from this guy. He had a deaf and dumb spirit. No, this was the epilepsy. And the child was cured. But this was one the disciples couldn't cast out. Remember, they were frustrated. And they said, "Lord, why couldn't we cast him out?" And He says, "Because of your unbelief. For I say, if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be cast out, nothing would be possible. However, this kind of demon, look at this, doesn't go out, but how?" Here's another one. Fasting gives you spiritual power to cast out demons. There it is. You know the greatest hindrance to effective spiritual warfare is unbelief? It's so easy to forget that we walk in a spirit realm. You know the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against what? But principalities and powers. But how quickly we forget that our enemy is not the person, it's the demon. We get caught in being bitter and unforgiving and judging and despising and being moving in vengeance. This stupid stuff, because we wrestle with flesh and blood. And a lot of times it's because we're so dull spiritually. We can't see who the real enemy is. It's not that person. It's the demon behind them that's driving them, that's in them. It's the principalities and powers and ruler dominion spirits. And I'm telling you, fasting clears the spiritual air. You can separate the sinner from the sin. And you can start attacking the demon and not the victim, the host that the demon lives in. And I'll tell you what, unbelief causes us to move in soulish power. Every time you see someone moving in bitterness, resentment, judgmentalism, unforgiveness, anger, justifying themselves, putting others down, whatever it is, they're moving in soulish power because they do not understand the real enemy is the devil. It's not your brother. Well, what you say, yeah, but this situation, particularly when there's a soul tie, you know? You ever been in a situation where it's really hard to separate the sinner from the sin because it's like it's your spouse or it's your kid or it's your mom or it's your dad or it's your sibling? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's really hard to tell that. And you tend to get angry at the person. Because they, for some reason, they came and slapped you on one cheek. And for some strange reason, you didn't feel the wonderful urge to turn the other cheek. There's some in the Bible about that, right? If I slap you on one cheek, you turn it. Or I came and took your coat. And you kind of resented having to give your cloak also. Or I compelled you to go a mile. You said, "A mile's all I'm going." But He said, what? You said, then go the extra mile. Well, you say, well, how in the world can I love my enemy? How can I do good to them that hate me? How can I pray for them that despitefully use me and abuse me? How can I love jerks? And deliberate jerks at that. Willful jerks. Jerks that move in the fullness of their jerkicity. How can I love them? The jerknicity, they have a BS in jerkiness. How can I love them? I tell you, there's only one way you can really love them. You got to separate between the individual and the spirit. Well, how do I do that? You got to have spiritual eyes. Well, how do I get them? Unclog the pipe. Fasting. Just deny yourself. Fast for a day or two. Or, as I'm going to share with you in a minute, put a spiritual discipline of fasting in your life. And suddenly the scales will fall. And you'll find yourself able to love. Able to give. You don't react. Somebody comes at you and attacks you with slime. Ever been slimed? I just cast slime off of somebody this week. You know what slime is? When I was a kid, we lived not far from this pond. Now, this was a pond that had no inlet or outlet of water. The water in the pond was always rain only. And as a result, it would tend to collect scum on it. Green scum. Thick green scum. And when we were kids, we'd go get a big old handful of that slime scum and sling it on each other. Little did I know I was prophesying my future life. That I would be the slingy, not the slinger. And I can't tell you how many times I've been slimed, spiritually slimed, you know? Isn't there some kind of a thing kids have called slime? Well, you know what slime is? You've been slimed when someone has spoken evil of you or judged you or maligned you or accused you unjustly. And you feel slimed. You walk away, you feel dirty. You know what I'm talking about? You feel a hairiness right here. It's actually witchcraft. We call witchcraft. You've been witchcraft. Something's on you. In the mid-90s, about 94, I had some serious slime thrown on me to the point where I had to have four brothers pray for me for about 30, 40 minutes to get it. It was like a spider on my stomach. One of them saw it. It had been attached there for 3 days. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. You ever had that? I had no rest. There was a spider on my stomach. It was a spiritual, and it had been put on me by witchcraft, by people deliberately betrayed me. And spoke evil against me in this ministry, trying to destroy the ministry, and a demon was... And I didn't know, man. But three or four brothers broke it off, and then I had to go down to Guatemala, and my spiritual authority, my pastor prayed for me down there, and I'll never forget, he just spoke the word, and it all fell off. You know, we all can get slime. Sometimes we slime. And the reason we slime or get slimed... It's because we don't know how to separate between the sinner and the sin. We don't see the spirit. We get wrestling with flesh and blood. We get bitter and judgmental and unforgiving and resentful. And I'm telling you, fasting can open your eyes. So if you have a problem with bitterness or unforgiveness or judgmentalism for whatever reason, you have a hard time just releasing and loving your enemy and doing good to those that do you evil, then fast. Get a regimen of fasting in your life and begin to break it loose. Begin to see and discern who your real enemy is. The devil. I have a note here. To the degree, there's a principle, listen. To the degree that you deny yourself in the natural realm, to that degree are you woken up in the spiritual realm. That's the way it is. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Ezra 8. A couple more places. Y'all know where Ezra is? It's right before Nehemiah. You know where Nehemiah is? It's right after Ezra. Ezra 8:21. Okay, it's right before Nehemiah was at Esther, Job, Psalms. Find Palms. I mean Psalms. Somebody said, Book of Palms. It's Psalms. Find Psalms and go back a couple of books. Ezra 8. You there? Verse 21. Look at this. This is incredible. This is when they were trying. Ezra was leading the people out, trying to get to the enemy. Ezra 8:21. I proclaimed a fast at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before God to seek a right way for us, for our little ones. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers against the enemy in the way, because we spoke and said the hand of our God would be upon us. So verse 23, so we fasted and besought God, and he was entreated. And look at verse 31. So we departed from that river on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was on us, and he delivered us from the enemy. And such as, I love this, and such as lay in wait by the way. Look at this. Here's another advantage of fasting. It delivers you from the snares and traps of the enemy. They fasted, and they were delivered from the enemy who was waiting to get them. Delivers you from the snares and traps. You know, in spiritual warfare, the devil knows your weakness. Did you know that? He knows your lazy areas. And as a result, most believers are consistently defeated in certain areas of their life. Why? Because they're fog-bound. They're in a fog concerning the enemy's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, lest he should get advantage. And to the degree that we're ignorant, to that degree he gets advantage. And many of us are very ignorant. Some Christians don't even believe the devil's out as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so they're walking around clueless in the spirit as to the real enemy, what he's doing. Fasting clears the air. And it exposes the devices. I've literally had instances, and this has happened a lot, where the natural realm, the spirit realm moves into the natural realm. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Things happen in the natural realm to show you what's going on in the spirit realm. I've had times where all of a sudden spiders start appearing around my office. On the walls. I go to my car, there's a spider on the hood. I usually go, whoa, God is speaking to me. And sure enough, I begin to put on my armor and do warfare and tighten up my discipline. And sure enough, within a day or two, there's an attack. It's usually witchcraft. Spiders speak to me, speak of witchcraft. Someone has maligned me, judged me. There's evil coming at me. And God warned me in the natural. I've seen things like that so many times. You know, snakes and... I've learned in the spirit to discern certain things that happen are signs in the natural. God's trying to speak to me. Y'all believe that? The Bible says in John 16, one of my favorite verses, the Spirit will show you things to come. God wants to... Look, the Lord loves you. His Word is a lamp under our feet and what? That means... A lot of things, he says nothing, you're not going to step any holes or step on any problems. He wants to show you the way. Thy way, O Lord, make thy way plain, it says in Psalm 25. Make thy way plain unto me. The Lord wants to show you that you have a sure foot in this and won't fall in the snares and holes. He wants to open our eyes in the spirit realm. May be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Some of us are wise as doves and as harmless as serpents. Some people, you wonder, why didn't he say, he says, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. So why did he say, I send you forth as lions among bunny rabbits? No. Fasting is essential to stay sharp in the spirit. You've got to have a weekly regimen. Now, I tell you, this retreat we had with David Hogan, the wonderful videos. A man who knows how to raise. He's rose so many people from the dead. The testimony of the video that got me most was it was these little two girls in a little village that had died from a storm. And Mama dragged them. This is a little Indian village, Aztecan Indian village with no running water, no lights. And Mama dragged the two dead girls to the center of the village where they were burying. So many people had died, they just laid the dead in lines and they were burying them. There were so many dead. They said, just lay the dead in a long line, and when we get to your daughters, we'll bury them. Well, she dragged them out there, each one with a long rope. Then she had to go back and get a big bag of lye. Is it lye? Lime. And drag the lime out and then put lime over the girls' bodies. And there were her two daughters who had died in the storm were dead on the ground, covered with churches that believes in raising the dead. And she goes in, and this is the second day, gets there, and the pastor is this interesting. By the time she got there, they had already been fasting. And when they heard the word, or the need, they stayed up all night praying, all night. And at daybreak, a couple of the pastors with the woman went 8 more hours, and by now it's the third day. They get to the village, and they are just about ready to bury the two girls that have been buried under the lime. Because these pastors have been fasting and praying and spent all night praying since they bowled. A couple of pastors straddled the bodies, called the girls by name, and they rose up alive out of the lime. Hallelujah. That happens today. And the revelation is they move in fasting and prayer. They get what they give. I like what he also said. We ought to treat premature death as an enemy. Because Christ did say, and I got a new revelation, this, heal the sick, cast out demons, what? Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. I thought, you know, he put them all together. He said raising the dead ought to be right along with healing the sick. And so down there, they challenge the devil. When somebody dies early, they say, whoa, that's the devil. And they're going to challenge that death and take authority over death. But he said, you know, you got to be ready. And fasting will keep... I'm convinced it doesn't mean you don't eat ever, but you put a regimen, a discipline of fasting in your life. I'm tired of being powerless. I'm tired of it. I know there's a resident anointing in my life. There is. And there's a certain level of power that just comes from the nature of the anointing. But I know there's a resting anointing I often don't have because I've been lazy in the flesh. Lord showed me a lot about this, particularly in James chapter 1, where it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father. You know the very preceding verse says, do not err, my beloved brethren. And he's talking about lust of the flesh and being driven by the things of the flesh. You know, lusts and enticements, and that can speak of gluttony. And what he's saying there is if you read James, he's saying if you can learn to not allow the things of the flesh draw you, do not err. Then the very next verse is, every gift comes down from heaven. In other words, I'll put down my gifts. Gifts of what? Gifts of power to heal the sick, to do creative miracles, to raise the dead. I'll bring you those gifts if you learn to overcome the flesh. Read it in James chapter 1. It's real clear. I never saw it till this week. Went, whoa, look at the connection. He's just waiting for somebody that's going to deny themselves, take up their what? And follow him. Not their couch. In America, we think, take up my sofa. My futon, and follow Jesus. Two more places. Matthew 4, verse 1. Here's another good example of power fasting. Matthew 4:1. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now look, I notice this. First, he knew he was being tempted of the devil, so what did he do? When he, what? Fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. And when the tempter came, in fact, look at verse 11. And then the devil left him after the temptation. The angels ministered to him. Another benefit of fasting, look, it gives you the ability to endure and overcome temptations. Amen? Are you out there? I guess I'm talking too monotone. You're all falling asleep. Wake up! Somebody was just driving. They heard this on the radio. They just swerved at that. You know, at times temptations are going to come. We're supposed to pray that they don't, right? Lead us not into... But you know, in spite of that, they're going to come. You know, I'm not supposed to look for them. Kind of, some of us like to kind of sniff them out and get right up on the edge. Whoa, 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 whoa. No. Lead us not. But did you know the strength to endure and overcome temptations, listen, is predicated upon 2 Corinthians 12:9. You don't have to read it. You don't have to turn to it. It's the verse that says, my strength is made perfect. How? He says I am weak. When I am weak, I'm strong. There's a powerful revelation. When I'm weak, the strength of God's power is predicated upon weakness. The interesting thing is, when I'm weak, I'm strong. You know, when you're being attacked by the devil and tempted and tormented, the best thing to do is get weak. Because if you get strong, you're going to start fighting him in the soul. You know what I'm saying? Start fighting the devil. How many of y'all are successful fighting the devil in your mind? It's like playing chess with a master. You can't do it. You got to get out of your mind. Get in the spirit and resist him from the spirit and he'll flee. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. What? By having a disciplined, committed regimen of fasting, you can overcome in areas you've always been defeated in. Hear me again. By developing a disciplined regimen of fasting, you can finally overcome where you've always been defeated. You know those dime store demons that come your way? Those little 15-cent ones, you know? Here we are wanting to fight the mighty, strong principalities. And Satan goes, give me a break, you know? Throw a little tiddlywink demon. Oh, you're falling on your face. Hello? Come on. Well, you know, you might upgrade a little bit. You may have to expend some higher-level demons to mess around with you. And you know, that's good. You can overcome in areas you've always been defeated. We're having our deliverance from captivity conference in about 6 weeks. And I'll be honest with you, before this retreat, I was really nervous about that. I really was. This conference, we're planning this conference, and I don't know what's going to happen. It's the first time we're doing one of these, and I figure it's a good start. We'll see what happens. But we're planning on having a mass deliverance from Friday night to Sunday afternoon. We're going to deal with stuff. I mean, we're going to deal with sexual abuse when you're a kid, abortions. We're going to deal with abandonment. I mean, by the way, that whole week before, I will be up in Detroit ministering two times a day from Saturday to Wednesday to a whole big group up there. So I'll be ministering day and night deliverance. And they figure that's a good time to have a conference. I'll be back 24 hours and we'll have one here. But I've been really nervous about that 10 days of doing a mass deliverance almost twice a day. I'm serious. The last couple of weeks, Lord Jesus, help me. I am going to be ripped up, decimated, chewed up, and spit out. Help me, Jesus. And you know what? As of this weekend, I feel really encouraged. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, son, hello. Back off on the key lime pie a little bit. You want to move in some power? Put some discipline in your life. Oh, yeah, Lord, fasting. So I told the Lord, okay, I'm going to fast Tuesday. And I figure Tuesday and Friday nights, I'll have juice instead of dinner, just to, you know. And that felt good. And I told my wife about it. And she said, that's good. That's good. The next morning, I had this weight of my spirit. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, well, come on. Come on. So what he has convinced me of in the next 6 weeks at least is to fast Tuesdays and Fridays. And I'm really excited about it. Because now, once I made the decision I'm going to fast Tuesdays and Fridays, at least for the next 6 weeks of the conference, I begin to feel this incredible sense of encouragement. That something's going to happen. There's something about discipline. In fact, it was like there were these spirits that were pressing into my head, saying, come on, God's not going to use you. You know, if he does, you know. When I made that decision, they all backed off. Hadn't heard of one since. When I said, I am going to fast Tuesdays and Fridays at least then, and maybe further. I said, I'm committed to my wife and we'll continue to fast dinners those nights. I want to keep some regimen in my life. But hey, it may be good enough. The Bible, at least the Pharisees said, I fast twice in a week. I mean, you know, it wasn't too much. I know Norman said years ago, you ought to fast at least once a week. I mean, you know, God rested the seventh day. 6 days he worked. I mean, give your body a rest. And I'm going to share that with you. That's another one. Fasting, look at this. Will enable you to live a long life. Luke 2, the last place we're going to look. Luke 2:36. Fasting will help you live a long, healthy life. How many of you want to live a long, healthy life? Fasting will be part of it. Bible says it's foolish to die before your time. A lot of people die today. Do you know a lot of people are in the hospital with cancers and problems because of what they eat? You are what you eat. And a lot of what, you know, it's interesting that the medical doctor's solution today to a lot of ailments is put more stuff in your mouth. Amen? A lot of the problems we have is what we eat. Well, here, eat all this too. You know, there is a medical, valid medical therapy in fasting, in denying. I've actually heard of instances where people were healed of cancers because they starved it. They starved the cancer. Quit feeding it. There are many diseases I've heard in instances. It's not very popular here in the West, unfortunately. It would cut in on a multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical business. Luke 2:36, look at this. This is when Jesus had his circumcision, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Look at this. She was a widow of 84 years. Anybody know how old that is? 84 years old. This lady is 84. Now, Psalm 90 says it's given a man to live 70 years. And if by reason of strength, what, he may live, what, 10 more? Is that how it reads? But this lady's 84 and going strong. Why? She departed not from the temple, but served God, what, with what? Fastings and prayers night and day. Fasting can enable you to live a long and healthy life. There's another reference to that, too. Fasting can lengthen your lifespan. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have an automobile you drive every day to and from work. Every day, put miles in that thing. You miles on it every day. Well, what would happen if 2 days a week you put the automobile in the garage and you didn't start it? Would you lengthen the lifespan of the car? Well, it would go further. The less you drive it, the further it would go. You know, sometimes our bodies need a break. And then we stuff so much stuff in it. Our bodies need a break. It needs a cleansing, a release from stuffing junk in it. Fasting is a valid, healthy thing to do to your body. It's not going to hurt you. If anything, when you fast, a lot of times it cleanses your body of impurities. You know, for years I used to drink Coca-Cola. Back in the mid-80s, I was a Coke addict. That's Coca-Cola addict. Never did do the other stuff. Coca-Cola addict. But I would drink that junk. I understand there's something in Coca-Cola. They will not let you know what the ingredient is, the makers of it. And I'm not surprised, because there's something in Coca-Cola that messes your system up. And I was also a caffeine drinker. I'd drink 2 or 3 cups a day, every day, and I would get these headaches, you know, when I wouldn't have my coffee. Well, one time I went on a extended fast, well over 2 weeks. And after about 8 or 9 days, the toxins and poisons in my body began to come out. And fortunately, I had been trained to understand what it was, but my tongue would take on these weird colors. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then my tongue would be coated with this slime. And it was terrible. And what it was my body was purging poison. And what I've been instructed is just keep fasting until your tongue turns clear. It took 5 days. And it was getting rid of that Coke and that coffee and other junk. I remember I used to eat a lot of pizza. I remember when I came off a fast once, I looked at a pizza and said, pizzas are not good. Did you know when you come off a fast, your body tells you what's good? There's something instinctive. When you've been off a fast a long time, I mean, when you fasted 2 or 3 weeks, let me tell you, there's nothing so great as a piece of carrot. I'm telling you. Whoa, it's orange. Mmm. You know, there's few things as good as that first taste of tomato soup when you've had nothing but water for a week. You know what I mean? But the fasting actually can purge your body of toxins and poison. And you know, when I came off that fast, I broke the Coke habit, Coca-Cola. And I got off caffeine. And since then, when I drink coffee, I drink decaf. I don't drink the caffeine. I've got that out of my system. And I got that garbage. And you know what it was? It wasn't anything I really wanted to do, but my body was repulsed. It's like I cleansed it, and, ooh, I don't want that stuff in there anymore. And a lot of us here in America, we eat junk, man. I mean, we don't know what we're eating. You don't know how you get one of these boxes that says psilocybin clibarbonates, you know, and I mean, this long list of 14-syllable words, you know, all it is cheese, you know. It's cornflakes, you know. My goodness, we don't know what we're putting in our body. But your body does. Some of it can't break down. And fasting is a healthy thing to do. In fact, it's interesting. When you have a regimen of fasting, I was telling my wife this, I said, it's amazing how you appreciate foods you just kind of run through, you know? When you haven't fasted in a while, you just, you know, somebody sit in front of you, fresh corn on the cob, fresh, you know, fresh asparagus steamed, and, you know, hot rolls and a piece of, if you don't, you just go through and taste it. But you know, when you fast, there's a scripture in Proverbs says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet, but the full soul loathes the honeycomb. The full soul, honeycomb. Yeah, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So there's real wisdom, and God, you know, I think God wants us to enjoy. So I was so glad and so excited that the Holy Spirit put that in my heart. And I said, Lord, I want to enjoy, I want to quit scarfing down food and enjoying what you put in front of me. Amen? So whatever you do as unto the Lord. When you fast, you fast. When you eat unto the Lord. And I submit, some of you women who've tried dieting, y'all think that verse in the Bible says, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you diet. I'm sorry. That isn't what it says. Dieting is not the way to go. Because how many of y'all have tried a diet and tried this diet and tried that diet and, you know, you could, they don't work. Well, how about this for a diet? Just build a regimen of fasting in your life and just eat as you would. Now, don't go glutton gorging on the non-fast days. You know, I've got to fatten up because I'm a fast tomorrow. If you will have a regimen of fasting in your life, do you know that you won't want to eat like that? Your body will not want to gorge once you have the discipline. Am I talking to anybody in here? It renews and it cleanses the internal machine to run more efficiently. There's no better thing you can do to your body than periodically deny itself the junk. Now look, I like Bluebell ice cream. I think it's ordained of God. I've been up to Brenham. I've seen those cows. Those cows are anointed. I just went to Food Town last night. I bought 5 cartons of Bluebell. We have an extra freezer. I store them. I've got them for $3 a piece. I buy them when they're cheap. You know, buy low, sell high. Buy low, eat high, or whatever. But you know what? I want to have a regimen that when I enjoy a bowl of ice cream, I'll enjoy it, but I can go a whole day and not have one and not eat anything and discipline. I want to live that kind of life so that I won't feel guilty when I eat something. But I'll be more fit. And most of all, the exciting thing for me is, well, I'll be ready. Because I'm always having people ask me to pray for them. All the time. I'm a pastor, for goodness sake. Hello. And I need to have power. And you know what? I submit, probably a lot of us, we've talked a lot here about praying for the sick. And maybe one of the reasons that's never caught on like we've hoped is because we haven't seen a lot of fruit. We haven't seen a lot of healing. You know, if you pray for the sick, pray for the sick, and you haven't seen anybody healed, at some point you're going to go, here's an aspirin, you know. Well, it may be because we don't have any power. And when we're weak, that's when his power is made manifest. And the overhead, a few more. Look, fasting lets you gain control over, self-control over unruly flesh. 1 Corinthians 7:5. By the way, I have a booklet out there for $1 entitled Fasting. Covers all these principles, all these things. If you want it, it's available. It's also available on the internet at newwineonline.com. For those listening to the radio. Fasting brings speedy relief when surrounded and outnumbered. 2 Chronicles 20, I quoted that one. Fasting releases favor toward you from others. Remember Esther was fixing to, she was going to go to ask the king for a favor, so she fasted, what? 3 days, and there was favor released. You can extrapolate so much from this. You need favor from your boss for a raise? You know, you want favor? In a relationship, fast and pray. Seek the Lord with fasting. Put your money where your mouth is. Sink teeth into it. Fasting can avert God's judgment. Those are the passages I talk about, Jonah and Ahab. And finally, look at this. Fasting releases prophetic revelation of things to come. Remember Daniel? Bible says he fasted for what? 21 days. And one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible is Daniel 11. And it is a prophetic chapter ranging from his time of the Babylonian captivity all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it was a result of a 21-day fast God gave him. Now, Whenever I teach on fasting, people ask me these practical questions, so I'm going to give you some practical answers. Types of fasts and lengths of fast. First, types of fasts. One thing I've learned about fasting is there's no law about it. I've had people, after I've done this on the radio or television, people will call me and say, well, what is this good fast? Is that what I've found is, and there's a principle, I'll share it in a minute, the longer the fast, the stronger the fast. And the length of the fast determines the strength of the fast. And the power of the fast is dependent upon the intensity of the fast. You basically get out of it what you put into it. But here are some examples. A juice fast. Just a glass of juice at mealtimes in lieu of the meal. And plenty of water. Try to drink a juice. You know, maybe get a juice a week and squeeze natural juice. One, it doesn't have a lot of sugar in it. Or there's a water fast. Now, one thing about the water fast we found is for beginners, let your water fast be in the midst of a juice fast. In other words, let's say you're going to go on a 7-day fast or a 10-day fast. Well, let the first couple of days maybe be juice fast and go into a water fast and come back out of juice fast. One thing I'm going to share with you about fasting is whenever you fast, you want to gently slope in and slope out of fasts. You don't want to have filet mignons and the next day go to water. One day, I had 2 filet mignons. I figured, well, I'm not going to eat for the next week, so I can splurge. So I bought these 2 $3 filet mignons. I barbecued it myself with the bacon and all. I ate that meat, and the next day I went, do you know, within 24, 48 hours, I was so sick, I had 102-degree fever. I was sick as a dog, and I had the guys, and I did something to my body that wasn't good. Look, the best fast I've ever had is I know I'm going to fast for a season of time, I'll stop meat at least 3 days before the fast. Start having vegetables and fruits. And gently slope. It's like an on-ramp onto the freeway. Gently and break down so that when I take juice, it's not a shock to the system. And you go into juices, maybe water, peek it out, then come back into juices. And when you come off the fast, you take, you know, just some best way to come off fast with an orange. Or, you know, something just very, like a grapefruit or cantaloupe or something, very light and mild, and slowly begin to get back into, and don't touch meat for at least a couple of days. Depends on how long. If it's an extended fast, I know somebody wants to fast for 2 weeks and broke it at the Monterey House. I'm serious. When you hadn't eaten 2 weeks, I mean, and they had this big old, they only ate like a fourth of it. Their stomach had shrunk so much, and they were sick. You could really hurt yourself. So there's wisdom in fasting, sloping in. The next one is a pleasant foods fast. That's just as it says. Choose something specific to avoid, like 21 days without sugar. Some of you go, oh, my God, is that possible? 21 days with no snacks, desserts, or a moderate portion of each meal. Or refrain from any spices. Just, you know, in the beginning of the book of Daniel, it says that Daniel fasted. And the fast was pleasant foods fast. They ate pulse. They just ate what was necessary and not what was filtered with a lot of spices. But the principle is the power from the fast is dependent upon the intensity of the fast. If you want power, it's got to be more intense. You say, well, I like that pleasant food one. That's the one I want. Well, fine. Go on a pleasant foods fast. But it's going to have to be intense to get any power. See, it's a give and take thing. Go on a 2-month pleasant foods fast. If necessary. You know, the more you deny, the more you come into power. The next thing is the lengths of fast. I have a lot of people ask me this. First is, I like to call it the one-day fast puts teeth into your repentance, or even water. If you just say, nothing but water will touch my teeth on my lips, has a lot of power. Number two is what I call the 3-to-10-day fast. That's when you're seeking direction. There's so many clear examples of the 3-day fast, particularly Esther. A lot of examples of that. Clearing the spiritual air, breaking minor strongholds, or you may go to the 14-to-21-day fast. That's to break major strongholds. Those are the ones I've gone into in the past and have seen incredible deliverance. One time I was on a fast, and like the 10th or 11th day, the Lord began to show me things in my childhood, inner vows I'd made that were tremendously binding to my soul. It was glorious. When I got prayer, it was amazing, the freedom that came in. But I had to pay the price for fasting. Then there's what we call the 21 days pleasant foods fast. Breaks minor strongholds. See, you see the point? It's different things. It depends on how you want to. Then we call it the prophet's fast. After passing, this is basically the 40-day fast. The way the prophet's fast works is after you pass through an initial hunger stage, about 3 days or so, and weak stage, the prophet's fast will continue until real hunger returns. And that depends. That your body will really go into a state for anywhere between 25 and 40 days. And then when real hunger returns, that's when you need to eat. And that's what it said in Matthew, where it said Christ afterwards was hungry. That meant starvation was setting in. That's when you eat. So there is such a fast. And it's a parable. I don't know, people going 40-day fast, it absolutely changes their life. They're never the same for the rest of their life. Signs and wonders. And I'll put here any combination of fasting that works best for you. But just remember this principle. Look, the longer the fast, the stronger the fast. Is this clear information for you tonight? But what I want to recommend to people in this church at this point, I want to really make a recommendation, particularly with the upcoming conference that we're having. I'm hoping that a lot of ministry opportunities will avail themselves, and I'm hoping there's a lot of power here. And what I'm going to recommend people do is pray about some kind of regimen, meaning a discipline of fasting in the weeks to come. Whether you want to go on a particular lengthy fast yourself of that sort, that's great. And I think, but what I really recommend is, regardless of what kind of one-time fasting you do, I really think we need to get in our life a regimen, a discipline of fasting, a weekly fasting of some sort, where it becomes a lifestyle, a discipline. The benefits are incredible. You know, there's something that rises up in you in absolutely horror at the notion. It's called the flesh. But if you can, Jesus said the flesh is what? But the spirit is willing. If you can rise and say, you know, Lord, this is what I've been looking for. And yes, those of you who struggle with weight, you will lose weight. But let not that be your goal. Let your goal be seek the Lord. That's a good byproduct. And you know, it's true, if you struggle with, you can't hold weight, you know, fasting can actually enable you to keep weight on. Did you know that? It's a proven fact. Because you quit eating so much junk, and by instinct you begin to eat more quality foods that to stay with you. Get rid of that. This stuff really works. So what I want to encourage us to take serious is some kind of a regimen of fasting. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight. You would speak, Lord. You would convict us. I think you're preparing us, Lord Jesus. These are preparation days, Lord, for things to come. Lord, I expect, and I've always wanted to see in my ministry, in my life, the blind eyes open. And I have seen the blind eyes open to some degree, but not as dramatic as I'd like. Lord, I long that in this place, in this very room, in this building, Lord, we see signs and wonders such as we've never believed, Father. Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's all stand. Jesus. Is this challenging tonight? How many of y'all willing to seek the Lord about what you can do? I'm telling you, I think the Holy Spirit put some hope in some people's lives tonight. I think He's encouraging us that there is a way out. That some struggle that you've had for so long. Hey, you know, even if it's just one dinner a week or two dinners a week, go buy you a juicer. So just somewhere begin to deny yourself. It's a start. You begin to get some authority over that old flesh that just rules. Lord, I pray that you would come tonight. You would speak to us. Lord, I couldn't get any clearer in the Bible than I showed it tonight. This is from one end of the Bible to the other. This is not some new notion. You yourself, you didn't even begin ministry till you fasted 40 days. Oh, Lord. Lord, forgive us. We presume to do so much, so little fasting. Lord, I pray that you would come. You would let that word sink in our spirit. And you would speak clearly and excite us, Lord. Excite us for the benefit and the power.